This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500. Always great to have the owner, Kurt Rogers, with us in studio. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to see you. Any kind of weekly update a little bit, a few seconds?
Actually, we're starting to see some movement. For many of you, you'll watch out the unemployment numbers. There's two things that affect mortgage rates, and I've talked about them in the past. One of them is inflation, and one of them is unemployment. Well, the BLS, which is the Bureau of Labor Statistics, came out with about not too long ago, saying that they've hired all these people, which tells us that our unemployment rate's at 4.3. The problem is, if you just listen to that and think that's actually the truth, it over the history of it, it doesn't. The BLS, when they come out with a number, within 90 days, they are adjusting that number on average over 60% down.
Okay.
Which what that means is that the unemployment number is actually really higher than what they're stating. But unemployment is running anywhere from 4.3 to 4.5, 4.6. But the stock market is quite aware of that number. Now, the other number that's come out that's very favorably is our inflation numbers. We're down to 2% to 2.5%, which is where the Feds want to be. Mm. So what that means is we're starting to see, and over the last week, I've seen it the biggest, rates have started to move forward, going down. They're starting to lower. Instead of bouncing back up, they're coming down. You're going to find rates that are better now than they were a week ago. So it's important to kind of pay attention to this. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing your home, you're going to start to see it. I do not think you're going to see rates get down to 5% by the end of the year. They may make mid-fives, but I don't think you're going to see them get to 5%. Right. That might happen next year in 2027.
Okay. Are you seeing anything, real quick, in the advertising world that we need to make people aware of, are you seeing any ads where people are advertising some kind of ridiculous?
What a great question. You're going to see that for the next 12 months.
Really?
You're going to see people advertising rates that are just astronomically, they don't make sense. I saw one the other day, it's like 4.5 on a mortgage, and they make you believe it's a 30-year fix. Well, it's not. Mm-hmm. But what they also don't tell you is the APR. If you want to know how close that rate is really to a rate, read the fine print. What does your credit score have to be? Does it have to be a 760 or a 780? Are you doing an ARM or are you doing a 15-year fix? Are you putting 30 or 40% loan to value? All of those things come into play, but the APR, if it's more than a quarter of a percent higher than what they're advertising, they're building in a lot of costs. For example, the one I saw said 4.5, but the APR was 5.75, which means that's really what that's what you're supposed
and
to be.
And I tell you, I think that point right there, we could spend a show, because that's what's confusing to the public, isn't it?
It's misleading.
Yeah.
And we have a tendency, the media does that anyhow in a lot of different areas, but it misleads the consumer into believing something that's not true just to generate the phone call. Mm-hmm. And then they get mad and they figure, well, everybody's doing the same thing, so that's not necessarily true. Why would you have to do that to get people to come to you if you're providing the right service?
Right.
Because it's not always about that cheap, 4.5% where you're paying 2 or 3 points to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Again, Kurt Rogers is with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, first-time home buyer. You have heard that term probably many times. At one point, you were a first-time home buyer. But sometimes that term can be misleading. Some people think that is actually what we mean. First time you've ever bought a house.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. All right.
What a first-time home buyer is, and the programs that are designed for first-time home buyer, or someone that hasn't owned a home, been on the title to a home in the last 36 months.
Okay.
So if you owned a home years ago and then you went back to renting and now you want to buy, you would be classified as a first-time home buyer. And the funny thing that's going on right now in the numbers that are coming out, as of January of 26, 31% of all new homes that are being sold are to first-time home buyers. It's one of the highest numbers we've had in a while. And I think there are several reasons for that. So those numbers are growing. Part of what you're seeing is the reasons are that the market has stabilized. Instead of homes appreciating at 5 or 6 or 7%, and a first-time home buyer having to compete with down payment money or anything to get into that, that's not necessarily the case. With rates dropping, it's now putting those payments even lower, and they're fixed. Unlike rent, where the landlord can tell you, A, you got to move, mm-hmm. or B, we're going to raise your rent, that payment's going to be fixed. And then there's specific programs designed for first-time home buyers that allows you to save money. I just closed a loan this morning on a customer that we did a couple years ago on a first-time home buyer. He got a rate of like 3.75, and his rate went up over the last 2 years to the 5. Now he's turned around, he's got a rate down at the 5.625. We just closed, so he's able to keep it. But he never got higher than that rate he had 2 years ago at 5.625.
Wow.
So there's programs out there for first-time home buyers that are very good.
And when you get into, and this is one thing about, you know, the growth of your company over the last couple of years, you got a lot of companies you can get with, and they have to be competitive with each other. So that's good for your customer.
I have quite a few lenders, and there's many of them that do different types of home buyer programs. One of the other reasons I think that the first-time home buyer is coming out there, the numbers are out, that proves that the net worth of somebody who owns a home versus renting a home is 44 times greater than if you rent. Your net worth in 20 to 30 years. So the one thing first-time home buyers are learning is it's not so much of, can I buy the home and have my payment the same or a little bit less when I'm renting. It's how much of that money goes to you in the form of net worth and your equity and the appreciation that you're earning. But there are several different types of first-time home buyer programs. There's one for conventional, and they normally require 3 to 5% down. FHA, if you're a first-time home buyer, they offer 3.5% down. VA requires none. If you're a veteran, even without being a first-time home buyer, you can buy a home with no money down. Seller can pay your closing costs. You can come to table with nothing. Mm. And the advantage of VA, if you have VA, it's something you should strongly look into because they have no monthly mortgage insurance. You don't have to bring any money to the table, and their debt-to-income ratios and credit score are much more flexible for first-time home buyer. And then there's a program out there called DPAs. We've all heard about them. They're down payment assistance programs. Right. There are over, and this number, when I was doing a little research on first-time home buyers, really kind of baffled me, but not so much. There are over 2,000 different types of down payment assistance programs. They come from state offers them. Cities have down payment assistance. Counties have down payment assistance if you get out to USDA outside the metro area. And then the national government has them. CHAFA, which is what many people have heard about, is one of the bigger ones. Mm-hmm. But there are 2,000. I am not a specialist in all 2,000.
Sure.
I don't know all of them. Right. I know several, but not many.
But some of the high points are, I mean, down payment assistance. There are some programs you've talked about in the past, if those are still current, where, the repayment can be really, really a good program.
When you're looking, the way a down payment loan is structured is you bring as minimum as, let's say, 3% down, or even at some point, 1%. So let's say you buy a $400,000 house and you bring $4,000 to the table. That's what you get into. But some of the programs that they have, though, the way it works is the other 3 or 5 or 6% that you need is given to you in the form of a gift as a DPA, and it can sit there as a repayable silent second mortgage. You don't make payments on it. It's not part of it. Or you can make payments on it. There's so many different type ways of setting it up. So it just sits there as a repayable or unrepayable. It's just a quiet second mortgage. The only time you have to deal with it is when you refinance the home or when you sell the home. Then it is called due.
Right. And there are several incentives in along with that.
Along with the down payment.
With the down payment.
There are quite a few incentives. First of all, conventional loans do what they call Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have loan programs out to where they actually give you a break on the interest rate better than a normal purchaser of a home as a first-time home buyer. One of the restrictions for a first-time home buyer is you can actually make too much money. Everything called AMI, average monthly income, and how much money you make. If you make in excess of maybe $130 a year, down payment programs might not be available to you because they figure you have the cash.
Right.
It's more designed for those that are underneath the $100,000 figure. Making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 still going to qualify you for that. The other fee is they have reduced fees. This way they keep your closing costs down. They have lower mortgage insurance to it because there's going to be mortgage insurance, so you're going to have the silent second. So those fees have been reduced. Again, the lenders in the city and the county and the states understand that they need to keep the payments low to get you started. Mm-hmm. That's where the 2-1 buy-down comes in. So these programs were all designed to help you. And then the last one is you get an advantage of maybe some tax credits when you purchase a home and the interest that you pay on the home. That's something you have to see your CPA.
Right.
But you get special credits for being a first-time home buyer for taxes.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I think you mentioned on a different show, but lower mortgage insurance?
Lower mortgage insurance.
Okay.
Mortgage insurance is something that pays the bank in case you don't pay. They're going to pay the bank off. It's
right.
An insurance policy. Sometimes that can be another $125 to $150 a month. Normally that's cut in half or even smaller on first-time home buyers because, again, they're trying to keep everything into a range that you can afford to buy it.
Sure.
Because they understand the benefit to it.
Right. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We're going to hit a quick break. More coming right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578 and tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley. If you're just joining us, Kurt Rogers is with us. We're talking about first-time home buyers. Hey, there's a lot of advantages out there. Kurt can help you if you are a first-time home buyer. And now you know what that means. Hey, you haven't been on a title in the last 3 years, all right? Not literally your first time to buy a home. Kurt can help you. A lot of programs are out there. And, Kurt, one thing we talk about, you know, I mean, down payment is probably the first thing people think about. And so I don't know what the term would be if someone gives you a gift, I guess gift money. So how does that work when someone doesn't have the money and they need to get that Does that have to be noted as a gift? Whatever you work out with the person is, you know, whatever. But
the banks will allow what they call gift funds to a loan. The maximum that can be is 6%. So anybody giving you gift money, whether it's coming from the seller, coming from your buyer's agent, they can go to as much as 6% of the purchase price of the house.
Okay.
So if it's $400,000 house, 6% of that's $24,000. Now, that can't be the down payment. They can give it to you in the form of a down payment. If they happen to own the home you're wanting to buy, they can give you a gift of equity in excess of that.
Okay.
So if there's equity in the house, they can gift that to you. That becomes a tax advantage down the road that you're not necessarily liable for. But gift funds normally have to come from family. And what I mean by that is mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and or grandparent can give you gift funds, or the investors can, or the seller of the property can give you gift funds. One other way that people do it is, and this young man that I did a couple years ago, as a gift to his son had everything he needed, but his income was a little slow or a little weak, and he didn't qualify on the ratios. So what happened, Dad came in and co-signed for him as a non-occupying co-borrower. Now, I've done many of those, and that works really well for a lot of reasons. For example, if your child is going to college and you want to buy them a condo instead of having them be on the campus, you can get them a property, put their name on the title even though they don't qualify using your income, and it becomes a non-occupying co-borrower. The advantage to that is when 2 or 3 or 4 years go past, by the time the child's out of college, you can either then turn it into a rental, refinance it into the child's name, just in their name only, or sell it and you've made that money. So that's a great way to get started for a first-time home buyer.
All right, let's take some questions that you may ask somebody. And that first-time home buyer, what are a few things that people need to look at? Maybe they've been renting for a long time. They've never done this, and literally the first-time home buyer. What would be a few questions you would ask?
One of the first questions I get from most first-time home buyers is, what are my payments? First-time home buyer might be looking at they're paying $2,400 now or $2,800 a month in rent. Well, what are my new payments going to be? And I can tell them a payment of, okay, your payment's $2,400 for the loan of X. But in a mortgage payment, there's more to the mortgage payment than just the principal and interest payment. There's taxes and homeowner's insurance. So what the first-time home buyer is looking for is, what's my total payment? So you need to understand so when you're asking what's my total payment going to be on a home, make sure that includes taxes and homeowner's insurance and HOA, if there's an HOA. If you're looking at a condo, townhome. What we're seeing right now is a lot of first-time home buyers who will go out and think that they're going to get a better deal on a townhome or a condo because they're less expensive. They have a thing over here called HOA that single-family homes don't always have, and it's pretty stout. I've seen them at $300 to $600 a month for HOAs. So a townhome might not be the one you want to buy. You might want to look at a single family because you don't have that as far as your payment. So you need to know what makes up. And you need to understand when you're buying a home that now if something breaks in it, like you have a garbage disposal that goes out, it's all yours. Those are things that we want to make sure you have a reserve, and that's where your debt-to-income ratio comes in.
And what percent would you say, for the most part, you never want to go over how much of your take-home pay for a mortgage payment?
I'm going to tell you what the financial experts tell you.
Then you can tell me what you suggest.
I'm going to tell you what reality is. The financial experts will tell you they want your first payment, meaning your mortgage payment, needs to be 33% of what your gross income is. So take a payment of $2,400 divided by your income. That should not exceed 33%. Add all your other bills to that, meaning which credit card bills, car payments, and the back end should not be higher than 43. Those are idealistic. The lender will approve you quickly on those. Reality is we're seeing front end payments 45 to 48% and back end payments total at 55%.
Right.
And they'll still classify and they'll still give you all the special programs that come with a first-time homebuyer using those rates. Mm-hmm. But that's more of a reality. I think if you're closer to 45-50, 45 front, 50 on the back, that fits pretty well.
Right.
Because understand, when you're making that payment, anywhere from $300 to $600 every time you make a payment is basically going into equity. Because you're paying the loan down, you're just putting it in the bank like a savings account. So a lot of it's yours.
Right. And you don't want to be, I think a term we've all used through the years is house poor.
No.
Where, you know, how's the yard looking? Do you need to put some grass in there? Do you need to do some landscaping or want to do? Do you need some drapes and curtains and furnishings and whatever? Because, man, and then when those emergencies hit, I mean, for all of us, I don't care how old you are, it's a bummer, man, when something big goes out.
I don't know. You know, I started out, my first home was 1977, so it was considerably cheaper and all of that coming together. My payments were around 40% of my income, but I was in the military, so it was pretty well fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't make extra money.
Right.
So.
Now, let's talk about the process. And again, I want to really hit this first-time home buyer. They've never done it before. They've never even filled out an application to get approved. How does that start? How's that process?
I understand when you go to get a loan on a mortgage, there's some questions that they're going to ask going to be pretty intense. What they want to prove is your stability and ability. Are you stable in your employment? Are you stable in where you live? If you're bouncing jobs every 6 months for the last 4 years, different types of jobs, that's not something that's showing stability. So those are some of the things you have to understand going in. They're going to ask for a complete application. So they're going to want a history of your job and a history of where you've lived. They're going to want to see you have money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's down payment programs, but there needs to be something in the bank. Having a bank account with $12 in it is not really justifiable to a mortgage company to give a loan out if there's, and you only want to put 1% down. you're making an uphill battle. But you're going to need to fill out the documentation. And then we're going to need to see the documentation. You may say, I do this and I do that. If you don't give me the documentation, that's a prequal. Prequal just tells you roughly from what you've told me, here's what your payments are. If you give me the documentation, which will streamline the process, I can tell you exactly what you can qualify for. Then you determine if it fits.
And that's what realtors want.
They want a pre-approval.
Pre-approval.
Not a prequel. Yeah. They won't spend any time with you on a prequel. Mm-hmm. If you can't give them a document that says that a lender like myself has gone through and had an underwriter look at that documentation and say, yes, we will do a loan for you at this price with this payment as long as the house appraises at what you estimate.
Right. And those are good for?
90 days.
Okay.
So if you're looking and you're thinking about you want to get into the market or just get an idea that you might be wanting to do it in a year, my recommendation is to start now.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in and you get, I have several pre-approvals on my desk, so as the market changes, people say, okay, I found the house, I'm ready to go. And it saves them so much more time because a pre-approval is like a blank check. When you go to a realtor and hand them the pre-approval, that's like telling them, I'm good for $400,000, I can buy.
Right.
So they're going to look at you, especially in today's in a buyer's market, you're going to have a lot more power.
Mm-hmm. And when they say, then what's my minimum down payment, that depends on the program, so it's hard to know that until you really find out that right loan, right?
Yeah. I just off the top of the head, somebody says, well, I only want to put $1,000 down. Understand, I'm not saying I can't get you that loan, but you're making it very difficult if you're only putting $1,000 because the lender says if you don't have enough money to put into the home, how are you going to take care of something if it breaks?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it breaks and you don't fix it, it falls back on the lender if you don't make payments. So there's a reason they want you to put at least 3% down. Shows that you have some risk involved in the game.
Right.
Because 3% on $400,000 is $12,000.
Sure.
You got $12,000 as a first-time home buyers. That's a good start.
Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. I just kind of thought about this when you were talking about, you got a rate that's good. I mean, you got an approval that's good for 90 days. Haven't really found a house yet. But, man, a really good rate comes in, and you think, boy, we should lock that. Do you ever lock a rate before you find a home?
can't.
Okay.
You cannot lock a rate because the rate has to be tied to a house.
Okay.
It's like if you look at an FHA home, you want to get an FHA loan. That appraisal in that FHA, whether you do it with that lender or me, is the same appraisal. If I don't like the appraisal, I can't get another FHA appraisal. I can on conventional, but I can't on FHA. So there's things that come into play when you're locking rates and doing that, that you need to make sure you have the right information in.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about closing costs? How do you explain that to a first-time home buyer? What can be the range in that?
In most cases, I've talked about this many times, $3,500 to $4,500.
Okay.
Now, and the main things you're paying for there is title, which is reduced fees because you're a first-time home buyer. Sometimes you can waive the appraisal, but there's an appraisal fee, there's an underwriting fee to the lender, which is normally cut in half. And then you have what's called escrows. You have to pre-fund your escrow accounts, which are your homeowner's insurance. You have to pay for that up front. So that's in addition to the cash down. That has to be paid for at the loan.
Mm-hmm. Now, bankruptcy, it happens sometimes. There are so many myths out there that, oh, boy, you never want to do that. You'll never own a car. You'll never own a house. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Actually, it almost becomes easier sometimes.
Yeah, right.
There's two types of bankruptcies, Chapter 7, Chapter 13. I have had people buy homes that have been in the Chapter 13 for 6 months. Somebody will tell you have to wait 4 to 7 years. No. On a Chapter 7, you have to wait 4 to 7 years. Chapter 7 is a little more difficult, but you can still get it done at 2 years.
Okay.
Chapter 13, I can do it right away. Because in a 13, you've set yourself up on a payment plan. As long as you've made that payment plan, the banks will look at you for a refinance with down payment assistance.
Mm. Oh, really?
There are programs that can help you out. Because you never know what caused that bankruptcy.
Sure.
Company could have went out of business. It wasn't your fault.
Right.
And what are you doing? So you've reestablished yourself. You found another job. You're making the payments to the bankruptcy. Yeah, so it will stay on your record for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it will affect your score and the ability to buy 6 months on a 13, two years on a 7.
Right. Folks, Kurt can help you out. If this is the first time you've heard the show, Kurt has been our exclusive mortgage lender since we started Haystack back in 2009, okay? He can help you. Has helped us personally, folks from my church, lots of KLZ listeners. And Kurt is happy to spend as much time as it takes to sit down, look at your individual situation, see what program is good for you. And he'll be glad to help you. You just have to call him at 720-895-0500. Kurt, your disclosure, sir?
NMLS 217-147. We are regulated by DORA and an equal credit lender.
Yes, you are. We appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Don't go anywhere. More coming back right here on KLZ 560.